Well, we have been talking in the last couple of weeks about worries in our lives that we've called molehills, those kind of smaller worries that you want to catch before they turn into mountains. And one of the things we've talked about is the fact that, you know, God cares just as much about the molehills, those smaller worries, as he does when they're mountains, when they're great big. He cares about all of that. And not only does he care about it, but he has things to offer us through his word, through the Bible, to help us navigate our life around and through those things that are happening. And today what we're going to be talking about is an area of molehills that was really kind of second to the top of your responses when I asked you to fill out responses on Easter of some of those worries that you have. This was kind of second on the list, and it had to do with molehills dealing in things like relational areas, relationships. And that was answered in different ways on the cards that we had. Some talked about family. Some were talking about marriage and children and parenting and grandchildren and aging parents, kind of all across the board on relationships. We're kind of putting those into this one category of relational molehills altogether this morning. The fact is that we have many, many relationships in our lives, don't we? Some of those are just acquaintances. Some of those are closer friends. Some of those go even to deeper friends. And then we have some of those relationships that I'm going to call valued others, those really valued, deep relationships in our lives. Today, what our focus is going to be on as we talk about these molehills this morning is those deep level, those deeper level, those valued people in our lives that we would call our closest relationships. They may be your spouse or your children or your parents, or maybe close friends that you would call just those really valued others in your life. Our focus is going to be on those kind of deep relationships. These are the highest level relationships that we have, and because of that, they demand the highest level of our investment. There's a definite cost involved in these relationships that we're talking about today. They're not easy to maintain. They're often downright difficult, tough to maintain. It takes a lot to build them, and like a building, whether they're going to stand through the molehills and the difficult times depends largely on the foundation that we build them. So as we prepare to talk about that today, about our deep relationships and their foundation, let's ask God to be the foundation of our time. Let's go to him in prayer. God, we know that you care deeply about us and the relationship we have with you and the relationships we have with one another. And as we talk about how to build those, we do want you to be our foundation. Your word, your Holy Spirit, so you be the foundation of this time this morning as we talk about this important part of our lives. And speak to our hearts, God. Let us know what we need to be doing to firm up some of these special relationships you've given us in life. God, lead us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Understand, friends, that loneliness was never God's intent. As the Bible, it has a lot to say to us about relationships with others. Look at just the story of creation, for instance. If you go back to the creation story, God created everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind. He created the trees, the animals, and the water, and everything on this earth and planet. And what did he say? He said, it is good. He said, it is good. And after he created all those things on this planet, he created man, and he said, it's a good thing. But you know what he also said? It is not good because he's alone. Because he's alone. So he created woman, he created Eve. So from the very beginning, God intended for us to have these deep value relationships with one another. Even in the very beginning of his creation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We know that we're richer, we're deeper, we're more meaningful people when we have these valued others in our lives. Do you agree with that? Of course we agree with that. If you've had those kind of relationships, you certainly will. What we build into our relationships affects what we're going to get out of our relationships. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." And you know what, friends? It's the same thing in our relationships. Value relationships take work, especially when those troublesome molehills work into those relationships. How many relationships have simply just exploded because those in the relationship allow these molehills to grow into mountains? What we sow into our relationship is what we're going to get out of our relationship. Valued relationships aren't accidental. They don't just happen. If you want to beat the molehills when they pop up, you have to invest something into them. These relationships take work. They're made, they're developed, they're nurtured, and they're built. This morning, what we're going to do is look at five building blocks to build that foundation for great relationships, for strong, valued relationships, to beat the molehills of relationships before they even happen. And for those molehills that have already happened, we can learn to how to squelch them and how to stomp them out. And upon these five building blocks, with each building block I give us this morning, I'm going to give us two action steps. Two action steps to go with each building block. And then with that, with the mortar of the prayer and the Holy Spirit in our relationships, it's going to build a strong foundation for those that we value. And as we do this morning, to make it as practical as we can, I want you to, before I get started, to try to think of one or two really valued others in your life. One or two people who you just, they fit that category, they're really important to you, you really value their relationship. Kind of put them in your mind as we talk about these blocks to build those relationships on. These can be people from across all planes of your life. It can be maybe a spouse or children or friends or your parents, but put one or two people in your mind. Do you have one or two people there in your mind right now that you can be thinking about as we talk about that? Well, let's get started with these building blocks. Here's the first one. With those valued people in your life, the people that maybe you've put in your mind now, if you want to build a strong value relationship, first this, you need to build on interest. On interest. And what we're talking about here means being others-centered. It's paying attention to and giving interest to one another. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." A good relationship includes understanding what's important to the other person and really investing in that with them. Often, we only think we know the interest of those that we value, when in reality, it's our interests that we're building the relationship on. And then the one in the relationship that pushes the hardest kind of gets things to go their way. And if you're in a relationship with someone now that you really value, I guarantee you that there are times if you're doing that, that person you value is really feeling cheated. There are times when they feel like, you know what, they don't really care that much about me if they're always pushing your interest on them and not hearing their interest. As I said, we're going to have some action steps for each of these. And so the first action step for building on interest is this. The action step is to ask questions. Ask good questions. Friends, asking questions shows genuine interest. People love to talk about their most valued subject, their most important subject, which is usually themselves. People love to do that. And good questions are questions that are going to bring out the best and another person. They evoke feeling. They reveal and they challenge character. Relationships can't survive without good questions. A lot of parents don't ask their children enough good questions. A lot of husbands don't ask their wives enough good questions. A lot of wives don't ask their husbands enough good questions, and so on. Now, we're not talking manipulating questions where you're asking things to try to get them to kind of go your way. We know we've all done that before, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about genuine questions that help us to truly know the interest of those that we value. When I was doing youth ministry many moons ago, one of the things that I would do with our kids is I would have this, each time they'd come in, they'd fill out a card and they'd put it in this bucket. And once a week, I'd pull out a name. And we would do these one-on-one times that I called a Coke and a smile. Remember the old Coca-Cola slogan, have a Coke and a smile? And what we would do is I'd pick them up after school, and we'd go to the favorite fast food restaurant of their choice, and I said, I'll provide the Coke if you provide the smile, right? Pretty good. And all we would do in that time is we would simply, I would sit and play 21 questions with them. I even had an index card that I had 21 or more questions written down on in case I got stumped. I could slip out to the bathroom and pull it out and look at it and remind myself of another question. But in most cases, I would ask one or two questions, and they'd just take off sharing about themselves. That's all I had to do, just get it started. And they would take off sharing about themselves. Why? Because they deeply wanted to be listened to about themselves, and especially from an adult. And they were thrilled to do that with someone. Do you have some valued relationships in your life that kind of seem to have reached this kind of like plateau? I mean, they've been going great, and it's almost like they peaked, and all of a sudden it kind of plateaus, or maybe they started to fall off a little bit. It's because you're not asking enough good questions. We're not digging in. The relationship's not, it's not come to a standstill. It's not broke. It's just kind of an idol. It needs to be accelerated by asking some good other-centered questions. Now, here's the second action step to this building block of interest. You need to ask good questions, but the second is you need to be listening. Listening is the second action step. We give other people our interest when we listen to them. And I'm guilty of this one, as guilty as anybody else. Sometimes I can't stop my mind from spinning and thinking and moving to the next topic enough to actually stop and listen. Do you ever do that? And the first way to shut down someone else's response, even if you're asking good questions, is to ask the question but not really listen to the answer. That's going to shut them down very quickly. The Bible gives us a definition of listening. In James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, my brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Say that with me. Once say, quick to listen. Slow to speak. Say that with me. Slow to speak and slow to get angry. And slow to get angry. Focus on the first part of that instruction just for a moment. Quick to listen. Sometimes we may be quick to hear the words being said, but we're not necessarily quick to listen, are we? We may be able to regurgitate the words. Look, I've heard every word you said. But we've not stopped long enough to put down the smartphone or the tablet or turn off the computer or the television or put down the newspaper. I don't know why they call them smartphones, because it's not making anybody smarter in understanding other people. It's not working that way. Good listeners are quick to listen. They're slow to speak, and they're slow to get angry. And one of the ways that we do this, friends, is by stopping what we're doing and actually giving good eye contact to those we're speaking with and listen to them. If you're brave enough, I got to decide if I'm brave enough for this one. But if you're brave enough, I encourage you later today to go to someone whose relationship you really value and to ask him or her, do I ask good questions? Do I ask good questions? What are the questions that would bring out the richness in you? Am I a good listener? Because I want to do better. Here's the second block, building block for these value relationships. We need to build on acceptance. Acceptance is when the attention that I give you isn't conditional. I'm accepting you for who and what you are, and therefore, you know what? You get my attention. That's building on acceptance. Romans chapter 15, 7 says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Friends, you know what? We're supposed to accept one another the way that Christ accepts us, and he accepts us. That's about as unconditional as it gets. We're all different. God created us that way. This type of acceptance says, I'm going to love you, period. No ifs, ands, or buts, period. This doesn't mean that you're always going to approve of the behavior of somebody that you value, but it does mean that you're going to love them regardless of that behavior. And you'll accept them even in the midst of their bad choices. Now, over the years, I have seen a lot of conditional love. I have seen a lot of conditional acceptance, and I'm sure that you have too. I'll love you if. I'll love you when. I'll love you because. Friends, let's call that what that is. That's called conditional acceptance. My acceptance of you is based on these conditions. Here's the first action step for this building block of acceptance. It's this: promote the differences. Promote the differences. God's made us different, so let's promote it. Think about it. When someone is different from you, what other option do you have? Either you can accept them or you can try to change them. Well, how's that working out for you? You can try to change them. And the simple fact is that people don't change until they've first been accepted. There may be some real harmful things, some ungodly things, even sinful things that somebody you value is a part of that need to be changed in their life. But you'll have no impact toward that change if they first don't know that you're going to love them unconditionally and accept them regardless of whether they change or not. What will happen is this: they will eventually come to understand that your desire to help them change has nothing to do with not accepting them for who they are, but has everything to do with how much that you love them and you want the very best for them. And remember that change, most change, happens very slowly. It's like turning around a big ship in the water. That doesn't happen very quickly without topsy-turvying everybody that's on board. The second action step that we place on this building block of acceptance is to forgive. And this is very important. This can be really a tough action step. We don't have time to go into depth on this one, and we'll do that another day because we need to do that another day. But today the fact is this: you can't adequately accept others if you haven't forgiven them. You just can't do it. This thing is huge to unconditional acceptance. The Bible makes it very clear about the gift of forgiveness that God gives to you and me. It's available to all of us to restore our relationship with God, and it's a free gift. But the Bible's also very clear that we're supposed to give the same forgiveness to others that He has given to us. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, "But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's pretty big, isn't it? That's pretty big. I've seen too many relationships that simply explode because people won't forgive. Not forgiving someone leaves you, what it does is it leaves you hooked to that offense. It leaves you hooked to whatever pain that offense has brought to you. And as long as you don't forgive, you're always going to feel that connection. When you forgive, you remove the hook, and then you can begin to have healing from where the pain was. But until you forgive, you never can have healing. It's so essential. Here's the third building block for our value relationships. We need to build them on experiences. Experiences. When we talk about experiences here, we're talking about both positive and negative experiences. Both of them can make your relationship rich. These experiences add depth and richness to the relationship. The first action step that we're going to place on that has to do with the positive experience, and that action step is laughter. Bring laughter into your relationship. That's such a great, great part of a relationship with somebody you value. It says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." The first part of Psalm 126:2 says, "Our mouths are filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy." Proverbs 15:30 says, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones." Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes a face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Laughter is such a rich experience. Back in the day that I was still single, and I was waiting and praying for the right wife for me, one of the things I hoped for and prayed for was a woman who had a great sense of humor, who could laugh. I mean, I love to laugh. I love creative thinking that brings laughter. And, of course, then Caroline comes along, and I like to tease about how I had to loosen her up because she's such a stiff. If you've gotten to know my wife, or as you get to know my wife, you'll learn that she has a wonderful sense of humor that brings great richness into your relationship. And that's what humor does. There's just something meaningful in our lives when we include laughter. And there's something empty in our lives without it. I'm going to take a divergent here. You know the other thing I prayed for or thought about? Not prayed for, but thought about. When I was single, I had a full-size bed. And because I'm so tall, I slept diagonal on that bed. So I thought, well, God's got to provide for me a wife that's going to fit in either the top or the bottom portion. And that didn't happen either. Because of her height, we have to share a king-size bed. It works just as well. Yeah. Kind of the flip side of the positive experience of laughter, though, is pain, right? And we all know that pain happens. Experiences also become rich when we share in pain in our value relationships. And the second action step has to do with those negative experiences, pain. And that's when we use the action step to bring in comfort. Comfort. No one enjoys pain, but we all know that pain happens. And often it's an open door for us to provide comfort to those that we value the most. And here's the awesome thing about the comfort that we can bring into those relationships is that comfort doesn't have to come from you alone. That comfort actually comes through the Holy Spirit, through God in our lives. It comes from God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And isn't that just a great verse about comfort? It tells us that when there's pain in the relationship, you know what? We don't run from that pain. We don't hide from that pain. We don't try to bury or ignore or deny that pain, but we run right into it with them to bring comfort. And we know that comfort source isn't us alone. That comfort source is going to be God's comfort that he brings to us to work through out into that relationship with others. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Here's the fourth building block to build with our valued others, and that is to build on honor. We need to build these relationships on honor. If you don't have honor for one another, you might as well throw that relationship away. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. In other words, in humility, honor others. Honor them above all. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another and brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. A definition of honor is this, to hold others in high esteem. Honor says that I become a cheerleader to those that I value. Honor says that when I look at a valued friend, I'm going to celebrate their successes without being jealous that I didn't get what they've gotten, that they have a higher paying job than I do, or a promotion, or a new house, or a new car. I'm going to celebrate their success. That's honor. Jesus makes it clear that honor is more than just words. It's more than just giving lip service. It's actions as well. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus says this. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Our hearts must accompany our words if we're going to honor others. The first action step to place on this building block of honor is respect. If you're going to honor someone, you have to respect them. I honor my spouse when I respect him or her. I honor my children when I give them respect. I honor my parents when I give them respect. I honor my valued friends when I give them my respect. And the second action step for this building block is to cherish. We need to respect and cherish. When I cherish my spouse, I honor her. When I cherish my children, I honor them. When I cherish my parents, when I cherish my valued friends, I honor them. In most marriages, women want to be cherished, not changed, and men want to be respected, not reconstructed. And some of us married folk out there today, we need to write this one down. This is really important. Women want to be cherished, not changed. Men want to be respected, not reconstructed. Most wives want to know beyond anything else that they're going to be cherished by their husband. And most men want to know beyond anything else that their wife respects them. It's just kind of how we're wired. And that's how each of us work in our genders. That's just how it works. Here's the fifth building block for those value relationships. We need to build on faith. On faith. This is the most important building block of them all. Building on faith says that with my spouse, with my children, with those I value, I'm going to bring Jesus right into that relationship. I'm bringing Jesus right into that relationship. Listen to what Paul's words were to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. By each other's faith. Friends, that's what Christian relationships are all about. There's something wonderful about growing in faith and then learning with one another in our relationships. We don't just come to the church to learn from the message that's shared in the morning. We also come because of those valued friendships, how we learn from each other, from other Christians that are here. Building relationships on faith means parents looking for opportunities with their kids to teach them about God. In your marriage, it means creating opportunities to pray and to study the Bible together. In your friendship, it means the support and encouragement and the accountability that you bring into relationship with one another. Here's the first action step to build on faith, and that is to be Christ. If you're going to build your relationship on faith, you need to be Christ in that relationship. And simply put, that means asking yourself, how would Jesus love and treat this person that I claim to value? Am I valuing them as he does? And then give yourself to loving and treating the person you value in his selfless ways. If you want to take your relationship to the top of the charts, this is exactly what we need to do. Be Christ in that relationship to them. Listen, friends, if we're going to do this, then we're going to have to lessen some of the self in our relationships and heighten some of the selflessness. We're going to have to lessen some of the my, me, and I concerns and heighten some of the you, your, and others concerns. We're going to have to lessen the me first and heighten the I'll take the rear of the line attitude. We're going to have to throw out the pity parties and bring in the celebrating others' good fortune parties. We're going to have to stop the judging of others and introduce grace and forgiveness to others. We're going to have to abolish any rhetoric of love and replace it with authentic, you'll know I love you by my actions kind of love. The second action step for this building block of building on faith is to actually share Christ. If you want the best relationship, you got to share Christ. Building on faith says, I'm going to share Jesus. If you're a Christian and you have someone that you really value who's not yet a Christian, if you really love and value that person, you're going to share Jesus with them. I know that there are some people here who've never talked about their faith, talked about Jesus with anyone. And even thinking of doing that with somebody they value the most, it scares them. The greatest thing that keeps them from doing that is fear. They've never shared Jesus with anyone, and they're afraid to do that. And that fear is usually based on either being rejected or I just don't know if I'll have all the answers. Friends, with value relationships, we need to allow ourselves not to be paralyzed by fear of sharing Jesus. Don't feel like you got to know it all. You don't. Don't feel like you have to have all the answers. You don't. Just share what Jesus has meant to you. Share what Jesus, how he's helped you get through some of the difficult times in your life. Share how Jesus has blessed your life. You don't have to be afraid to do that. You don't have to be afraid to do that. If Jesus is important to you and you're important to them, then guess what? They're going to know that you're sharing Christ with them is because you value them. They're going to know that because you wouldn't keep that from them if you really valued them. You do realize that this valued person in your life could be taken from you at any moment, don't you? At any moment. They could be here today and be gone tomorrow. People die in crazy, ridiculous, unexpected ways every day. Are we really valuing another person by being in their lives and not sharing Jesus with them? And we know that they don't yet know Jesus and we say nothing to them. Is that really valuing them? I mean, holy cow. We shouldn't be able to sleep some nights because we know that Jesus has opened the doors wide for us to talk to somebody else about the one who cares the most about them, and we haven't done it. When you really love someone, you build your relationship with them on Jesus Christ. That means you've got to bring him into the relationship. At some point, you've got to introduce him to the relationship, or you don't really value that person. You're saying that you can die, excuse me, but you're saying you can die and go to hell tomorrow, and I don't really care. My friends, here's the thing with crushing these molehill worries in our relationships. The best witness to a non-believing world is when believers have quality relationships, first with God and then with other people, with one another. What an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable is people who claim Jesus and then treat each other so rotten. Jesus told his disciples, other people will know that you are my followers by the love that you have for one another. If we build our relationships on these building blocks of interest, acceptance, experiences, honor, and faith, we're going to have a foundation on which great relationships can grow. And when the molehills arise, whether that's in parenting or that's in marriage or that's in aging parents or in whatever value relationship you can think of, when they arise, Jesus will help us to better manage those molehills because the foundation is going to be very, very strong. This stuff that we're talking about today is practical life stuff that you can take to the bank. It'll pay off great dividends. Don't just hear the words of this message today. Apply them to everyone that you say that you love. Let's pray together. Dear God, I don't know what the real reason is, but the people that we say we value the most often get the worst of us. The people we say we love the most, we let down our guard around the most. They're the ones that we find ourselves in shouting matches the most with. They're the ones that we don't respect or listen to as well. If we would go into our job and listen as poorly as we do at home sometimes, we would get fired. If we would go into our jobs and not ask good questions and make it all about ourselves, we wouldn't reach the next level in our achievement in our work. But we do those things in our families and with those close to us all the time. We become complacent, is what happens. We just think that person's always going to be there. And we become complacent and we stop investing in that relationship the way that we need to. God, these building blocks are biblical building blocks. They're very important to have a strong foundation to take a relationship to the top of the charts. I pray, God, that we just take them seriously. That if enough people wrote down on cards on Easter relational kinds of things, we know that there's struggles here, that we own that struggle, and that we say, I'm going to take the next step to build a stronger foundation in the people that I say that I love. Because love is an action word. And if our actions don't back up our words, then it's not really love at all. God, we love you. Thank you. You love us so much through all of our molehills, all of our worries. Make us stronger, Lord, in you through all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when you think about it, when the Lord had his last supper with those that he loved, it was all about relational time. Jesus knows that he's leaving the world very soon. He knows that his life's being demanded of him, that he's going to be dying on the cross. And who does he gather with? The valued people in his life. And they sit around a meal together, and he basically tells them what his relationship has been about with them the whole time. My relationship has been about loving you and sacrificing. As a matter of fact, so much that this bread you're going to eat, it's my body that's going to be torn and broken for you. So much so that, you know, this cup that you're going to drink from, this isn't a regular cup anymore, but this is my blood that's going to be shed for you. It's all relational. It's not done in private. And as we take of the body and of the blood this morning, I want you to be really specifically pay attention not only to yourself this morning and yourself with God, but of those around you who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in relationship together, and the body of Christ was meant to be shared in the body of Christ. The body of Christ was meant to be shared in the body of Christ. So as you take and you eat, you dip it in the cup and you drink in that way, pay attention to who's around you in this great relationship we have called the church. Well, those who are serving, come forward to take the elements. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church to have a communion with us. So if you're seeking to follow Jesus and be his disciple, we invite you to join us. We'll have two stations at each side, and just go to whichever side you're on. You tear off a piece of bread, and you can dip it into the cup and receive it. Please come now and receive God's body broken for you and his blood that's been shed just for you. Gary pointed out to me that on Friday, ISIL killed 300 more people. As we know, there's an earthquake that over 5,000 are now gone. All people that somebody else valued, that somebody else loved, he was here today and gone tomorrow. Our relationships are so important. What we place into them is so important. You may never get another chance. You want to share Christ with them. You want to pour all that you can into those that you love. If you really love them, pour yourself into them. One of the most beautiful things that for me as a Christian is the relationship that we have with one another as the church. The connection that we have because of Christ, it is such an amazing, beautiful thing. I remember coming to Christ when I was 18 years old and not long being involved with brothers and sisters in Christ, where that bond actually became thicker, more important, stronger than my own family bond that didn't have that yet at the time. And there's just nothing like that bond that we have as believers. And it should be something that looks so appealing and so beautiful to everybody around us that people say, I got to have that. I want to experience that kind of a relationship. Because of what God has done for us and what it does for us. Amen. Let's go in Christ today.